are just a few shows away from vacating the premises. I'm done. We're out of here. But look who's come crawling back.
You asked me if I wanted to come back and do one final one. And I thought, you know what, let's be nice. Let's be nice. Hi,
let's
guys.
Bring this thing full circle, which is what we're doing. Hi, Chris Droney. Welcome back for one more time to the Filmwork Podcast.
Hi, Stephen Harris.
You were here right at the very beginning. You recorded, not including today, 105 podcast shows with me.
Wow.
Yeah. More often than not, in this room, in fact.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. That's a lot of time. Starting 5 years ago on our very, very first inaugural podcast, where we talked about four different film trailers.
Yeah, we talked about some...
Expendables 2.
The classic.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes,
something
right.
else. And which is going to bring me to my point. Prometheus. So I thought, well, let's start this one off by having a little chat about the...
Sorry, was it The Dark Knight Rises?
Yes.
That was the other one.
That's the other one, yes. Because I had the four posters together on the image on the website. Yeah. Yes, I remember it well, my shaky start to the to choosing the podcast.
Now we're here at the shaky end. Shaky end of the podcast.
So Alien Covenant is coming out this year.
Hopefully.
Ridley Scott is back as director. Michael Fassbender is back, playing two roles in it. There's been a couple of trailers. There's been a couple of posters. The tagline on the first poster, I believe, just had an alien head, and the tagline said, "Run."
Yes.
Yes.
I quite like that poster.
I quite like that poster. It's all right. I think, you know, considering where they are now, they should just say, you know, in space, you're fucked.
I mean, yeah, they don't need to do anything. The second poster then was like an egg hatching and said hide.
Yep.
And then there's a new poster that came out this week, and it's glorious.
It's doing the whole Dante's Peak, you know, sinners on the rocks, you know, thing, you know, that fucking Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt were bragging on about in Seven. Yeah. And he's chucking out all the sinners and all that shit, yeah, all that kind of stuff. It's glorious, isn't it?
Gorgeous.
It's really good. But what do we make of what clearly looks like the alien queen headdress?
Yeah, it looks like the alien queen. Can't wait for her to not be in the film. Can't wait to be bitterly disappointed. Unless this is...
Because that'll be Ridley Scott's first tapping into that. Because it was a...
Unless the alien that we come into contact in this is actually the alien queen, and then she's just like... The film ends with her just like, you know, getting, you know, impregnated. Yeah? Yeah.
So you think it looks good?
How
are you feeling about this one? Yes,
I'm excited.
Considering how we came off the last one,
yes,
hey everybody,
this is
back to episodes like 6 when we did Alien
Jesus.
Retrospective, and then 10 when we reviewed Prometheus or something.
I mean, that's the thing. I'm really this looks well. All right, so they've released some bits, like the trailer they released on Christmas Day.
Gave away too much.
Give away far too much.
Goodbye, Billy Crudup.
Goodbye, everyone, basically. Well, from the two trailers, you can see, like, the people that make it to the end are the main... And any film where Danny McBride is one of the last two to survive is, you know, he's not the... Imagine the apocalypse is coming and the people are left, one of them is Danny
McBride.
You
mean, like, this is the end?
Basically.
I love that fact. You know what I like the most about that film?
What?
Danny McBride.
I mean, he's great, but he's not... He doesn't come across as the kind of person that'd be able to survive something like this. He's a big guy.
He's the pilot. That's why he's there at the end, because they've got to try and take off and then crash,
that's
when
he'll
die.
Yeah.
But to be fair, when he was cast, and I'm like, Danny McBride in an Alien movie, Danny McBride in a Ridley Scott movie.
Yes.
You know what? There might be some sort of genius going on here.
I think he's going to be great.
Because there's something about the guy that makes me... I saw Your Highness for the first time recently, and it's half decent. There's something about the guy that I'm just like, you know what? I just wanted to just give you points anyway.
Have you watched Eastbound and Down? It's a TV show that he does where he's like a washed-up baseball player.
Right.
It's baseball. But it's fucking great, and he's perfect in it. He's just... He is what I imagine him to be in real life.
Right.
Maybe without all the racism and sexism and drugs. Actually, no, keep the drugs. yeah, it's actually quite... It's very funny. Your Highness, I could take or leave. But the issues of the film are not down to him. Like, he's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
What
was it called again?
Eastbound and Down.
Right.
I am excited, but...
But?
This last trailer, the one where it ends with Danny McBride, like, bashing... Danny McBride. The alien bashing his head on top of Danny McBride. It kind of just... It doesn't look like an alien film. I know there's an alien in it. I know there's an xenomorph there. It just looks like it could be an Annie film. It looks like it could be... There's going to be... it's going to be close to Aliens, definitely. But there's just no... I don't know. There's no horror. There's none of that original... The first trailer for Prometheus did kind of have like a creepy aura to it. Now it's...
Oh, fuck it. It was all sound design and music. Yeah.
But it was a false sell.
Yeah.
This, if they're selling... If we're going to... It just looks like an action film.
Right.
It just looks like a gory action film with a character that we've known for the past 20, 30 years.
Yeah, I think they're going to up the gore factor on this one for sure.
Yeah, but if that's...
Do you think that they're going to go, oh, we've got our chest burst at the moment and it's the bit where it comes out the dude's back instead?
Yeah, that's definitely what they're going
to do. Do you think that's Ridley Scott just like being a bit fucking lazy and like stop trying to compete with that scene? Because in Prometheus there was the on the birthing table.
Oh, there was the amusement park.
Yes, the claw.
Yeah. The claw. He's just trying to. Yeah, I mean, we know what the alien does. He can just do that. But he's. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I will go see it.
Yes.
I'll probably review it for the site.
I do like the fact that it's a bunch of couples, and they are out to terraform and expand the human race in another direction on another planet,
which is quite interesting,
as opposed to a dumb bunch of dumb fucking scientists that just don't do their jobs properly.
Yeah.
Prometheus.
Yeah. So that's quite interesting that we'll see the alien combat couples, because we've already seen a combat delivery drivers, marines, and scientists.
Yeah.
Just taking off all the occupations, and then just couples.
Hopefully,
good.
It will have a decent ending.
No, it won't. It's just gonna. It's gonna. Ridley Scott has come out and said he's got plans for 6 more films. It's just gonna.
Oh no! I read that and I was all fucking lit.
For me, and I haven't seen it yet. I was looking forward to this film before I sat down.
You can't keep doing Alien prequels, because when Alien happened, the human race hadn't heard of it. So if you're gonna do 6 prequels, if they are prequels, then at the end of each film, everybody has to die, so that no one finds out.
Exactly. Or be stranded and have no.
Yeah. So please take us into the future, please, so that we're at least along the timeline parallel of Alien 4. Because who gives a fuck if it's in the future, right?
Yeah.
And then lead from there, because all it does is make a viewer go, well, how come this? Well, how come that? If they're prequels,
I know that's the issue with prequels and so many prequels that you know where the story's going, you know where we're going to get to, and there's no.
You know where it's fucking going. Oh, I'd be interested to know where the alien came from. Well, you didn't do that in Prometheus. It doesn't look like you're going to do it here either. But we'll see.
No, I don't want to see this film.
We just talked ourselves into not wanting to see it.
Fuck's
sake. I'm all up for a bit of Danny McBride. I'm not watching any more trailers, because that first one was like, oh, come on, you just showed us how half the fucking people die. And that's always a no-no. And some of them, known characters, like Billy Crudup, I know what fucking happens to you.
Never mind.
Let's get off this. So on our second podcast, we talked about we did our first review, which was the Avengers. Yes. So comic book movies. So we're going to focus the rest of this podcast on comic book movies, but we'll stick with trailers, because Chris and I have just seen, and it dropped today. And by today, I mean a few weeks ago, the trailer for the Justice League movie. Now, before I lay that on you, there are other ones that are yet to come out. As of this podcast, we may have... When's Wonder Woman out?
July.
Oh, right. And Spider-Man is also July. So those two, are you excited for those two? Have you seen all the trailers? Blah, 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 blah.
So Spider-Man... There's only been the one trailer release.
Yes.
So they've started releasing some posters. I'm up for this. It's Marvel are finally doing, they're having a say in what happens with Spider-Man, and it just looks fun. They're back. He's back in high school. They're going to do it right, hopefully. Because imagine if they got this wrong. Imagine if they got this wrong. I don't think they can. Like, I've got such faith in what Marvel Studios are doing. I know it's with Sony as well, but Marvel kind of have a final say in what happens. So, Spider-Man, yeah, I'm looking forward to. I think the kid, Tom Holland, is pretty. Like, he was great in Civil War. He's one of the highlights in Civil War. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Wonder Woman. No. I don't know why. I am. But I just know.
Chris, I have missed you on the podcast.
I know if I look forward to it, then I'm just building myself for disappointment because it just doesn't look that interesting. And that's just because it looks like a knockoff of the first Avenger.
Yeah.
But
with way too much slow motion.
Loads of slow motion. What is?
Look at me, I can sweep down and knock people over with my legs stuck out.
Good. At least she doesn't do that in the Justice League trailer.
Yeah, in slow motion and whip her hair around like it's a fucking Timotei commercial.
fair. Wonder Woman, I was really excited for Batman v Superman. And we know what happened there.
Yep.
I was somewhat apologetic towards it, but over time, I just lose. Not at all. I haven't watched it since.
Less said about the
I've only watched it once. I know you've watched the extended version, but I've only watched the once. That was when we saw it at the press screening last year.
Yeah, I gave the film a sort of extra half a star because the first hour made a bit more sense. But the remaining 2 hours were just a shite, so technically it sort of levels back down again because it's even longer.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so no, just as bad.
So why? How are you feeling about these two films?
Oh, Spider-Man, yeah. I mean, when I saw the trailer, I was like, okay, so he's in high school. What else is it telling me? Not a lot. So,
yeah, which is good. I don't want you to...
No, that's fine. And as long as he's not going to drop the fucking word awesome every action scene he's in, then I won't get annoyed. Because for me, I know, everyone out there in the press went, oh, he's the best Spider-Man ever, based on all bloody 5 minutes that he was in the Civil War. I'm like, no. The court's out on that one. For me, the jury's out, even the court. we'll see. So, but I'm up for it. Yep, I am up for it. I'm still a little bit worried about that it's still co-owned by Sony. As long as Marvel are calling the shots story-wise, then I think we'll be fine.
Well, I think they'll have to because it is going to have an effect on their overarching story that they're doing.
If Sony are just raking in the cash, then fine, fuck it, let them have it.
Yeah.
I'm up for that. I think Keaton is a good choice for villain, so that's going to be good. And he's doing stellar work at the moment in anything that he's doing. Since his Oscar nomination, I've seen Spotlight, which won Best Film a couple of years back, so that was good. I saw The Founder, which he was very good in, so he's doing good stuff. So hopefully he won't just be phoning it in as a bad guy. Wonder Woman, I didn't even watch the newest trailer. I saw the first one, and I just went, nah, not interested. Way too many. It was like a 300 movie. It was all brown and shitty and grainy and too much slow motion and fuck off. So not interested. So Justice League trailer.
Well, actually, quickly before we do this, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, it could go either way. If I'm a real skeptic, it could be a real they just repeated a bunch of jokes. And I'm already actually hearing people go, I'm annoyed with Baby Groot.
Okay. Where's the annoyance?
I think just because of the isn't he cute and haha and blah. I think people think it might be something that a one note joke that's going to get drawn out over an entire movie. Me, okay. I can see what they say, so I can see what can go wrong, but it didn't bother me when I watched it. When I saw the trailer, I was like, okay, most of this is from the opening sequence, when they fight some big, awful-looking squid-type thing, but it looks like it's got its sense of humor in the right place. Drax the Destroyer looks like he's set to steal the movie again. Chris Pratt, fine. He's annoyed me since the first film. With Jurassic World, and even more so with that goddamn Western remake.
Oh, Christ.
Magnificent Seven. Actually, I saw Passengers recently, and all, and I'm just like, fuck this guy. And bloody Jennifer Lawrence. She's not trying anymore in anything.
You get your Oscar, you're done.
Ugh. So, but no, but I love the fact that they are promoting Michael Rooker to a full member of the team. Yeah. He's going to fucking rock it. Rocket, big time.
Also rocket.
The new ones we'll see. Because I mean, the girl is like, "Oh, I sense you're feeling this." That again might be a one note joke, but we'll see what they do with the character. I can't wait to see Kurt Russell.
Yeah,
and I cannot wait to see the role that Sylvester Stallone has in it as well.
Yeah, I'm just really up for this because
it's gonna be a crazy time.
Yeah,
is the soundtrack gonna annoy me?
Probably.
We'll see. Probably if it's all fucking shit that you'd expect from a Tarantino movie, then yeah, probably.
No, I think this is going to be good. Like, the first one was great. The thing is about Baby Groot, James Gunn did come out and say this isn't a... Because someone tweeted at him, was like, oh, Baby Groot says he can sell merch. And he said, no, he has a thing to do. He's here for a reason. Because they could have just...
Yeah.
They could have just had Baby Groot there for the opening sequence and then, like... shoved him off because it's a dangerous mission. And then this
what you don't want is a Despicable Me to Minions type thing. You don't want a Baby Groot movie coming next.
I bet you anything we're getting one. Fucking bet you anything. Just like, honestly, there'll be like a, it'll be like a one.
It'll be the fastest selling fucking toy this year, yeah. Mate.
Baby like Groot. A little one shot. Baby Groot one shot.
Would it be nice if they did those again?
No.
One shots. Why the fuck not?
I don't know. They stopped. It's a pity.
It is a pity. There's so many just little things they could have done with characters and stuff. Like a Crossbones one would have been nice before Civil War.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, guys, I'm up for it for pretty much all the same reasons that you said. But I wouldn't worry about the Baby Groot thing.
Yeah. I'm not too much. I've give James Gunn full faith. You know, all things. And that first film just grows on me. It gets better with each watch.
It does. So. I mean, it's on Netflix as well, I think. So I've. Yeah, to be fair, the stuff I've been doing for Netflix on the side of late is like reviewing stuff before it comes out. So I haven't actually been on the Netflix site at all because I've been on the Netflix media site and like watching Iron Fist and The Discovery and iBoy and so there's some other stuff. I've got the first four episodes of a TV show coming out soon called 13 Reasons, which I haven't started watching yet. I'll do that this week. But there'll be a review on the site by the time you're listening to this.
Yep. We're recording it. What's the date today?
25th of March.
Of March. This is going out in mid April, I think.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Everything is out by
this
then.
Is like our third to last podcast. You're here to say goodbye, not like you're leaving soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mid April, I reckon.
Cool. Alrighty.
Yeah. Alright. Any other trailers? We need to mention, no?
No, let's get down to the...
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. So, as Chris and I spent most of our time on the podcast, when we weren't doing news items, doing retrospectives on comic book movies, and we did a shitload. In fact, me, Chris, and several others did loads and loads and loads. And there's like way over 150 movies that we... Well, almost 150 movies that we covered in total.
Hang on, are we skipping Justice League?
Oh, we've not talked about the trailer yet?
No.
Oh, bollocks. Oh, I thought we were going on to the main thing.
No.
Well, all right, right, fine. Right, well, that's a little sneak peek of what's coming in 5 minutes. All right, then. The Justice League trailer, which, yeah, you've all seen by now. Yeah. I literally watched it for the first time with Chris. We watched it twice, so, you know, just so we could remember everything. And it's basically just a fucking collection of unholy special effects shots. The first one that made me, you know, the alarm bells went off was the close-up of Cyborg when he speaks his first line. And I was like, I hope to God this is my internet connection that's making this look so shit.
No, I watched it on the bus here on my phone. It's the exact same.
Yeah. The horrible cloudy backgrounds, whether they're brown or blue or grey, stolen from whatever fucking previous Zack Snyder movie, 300 or whatever. So this is basically the first hour of this 2.5 hour movie, which is going to be, is Bruce Wayne going, oh, fuck, something's coming. Yes, Wonder Woman, help. Right, okay, we need to get people. Then he's going to go find each of them one at a time. Cute, cutesy fucking montages of shit happening and blah, blah. Introductions to each of these characters and them joining, whether one of them wants to immediately or the other one is a bit resistant. And then shit goes down, you know, at the hour mark. God.
You can already see every beat that this film is going to make.
Who the fuck are the bad guys? Who is this?
Steppenwolf?
Alright. Who has an army of drones who you don't give a fuck about. They can just kill them off. Ping, ping, yeah. Ping, 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 ping. So it's the Chitauri all over again.
It's actually,
instead of daytime, it's at night.
It is the Avengers film, because you can see, you know, what happened at the start of the Avengers film. You had, like, a very brief fight between Thor and Captain America. Here you get a very brief fight between Flash and Cyborg. Oh, we're going to have nameless villains? Yeah, cool. We're going to do nameless villains as well. What else? Oh, they didn't tease him, but what's going to happen, like, towards the end of the film is they're going to have their Hulk moment where Hulk, like, just turns up again. Superman will just turn up again.
Yeah.
Like, it's fair play to them for not teasing Superman in this trailer, because they could have done that. They didn't need to do that. But, Jesus, this just didn't...
Oh, well, they'll have a fight without him and be like, oh, fuck, we're fucked.
And then he'll turn up and he'll be wearing a black suit and it'll be fucking amazing. It just doesn't look good. And the costumes, my word, the costumes are bugging
Aquaman.
Me. Aquaman looks like spinach wrapped in tinfoil. It's just not, it isn't that good. And the Flash's costume is so blocky. There's no, how could you possibly move in that thing, let alone move as quickly as he can? There's so many padding. To be fair, there is one Aquaman. There is one flashback which I did quite like. Mm-hmm. And you know the sequence you were talking about, where like they're all kind of standing in front of like an orange glow, smoky thing,
right?
And it's like panning from one to the other. I don't know if you noticed, but when it pans from like the Flash to Wonder Woman, he's like staring at her in awe, because he's just like a young boy that hasn't gotten laid, because he's weird. He's just like staring at this gorgeous woman. Which is actually quite funny, but. When they try to be funny, it's shit.
It is shit.
I'm rich. Trump.
What's your superpower? I'm rich.
Donald Trump.
Fuck off.
It's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This is, God. And, it's just not that.
So, and I noticed that the Flash's dad is Billy Crudup, who's also in Alien Covenant, so, hey, snap. Whatever. Yeah, and the thing that annoyed me the most was there's that rubbish shot of Wonder Woman forefronting two guys behind her, like in the Batman versus Superman trailer. Yeah. That awful coming together shot.
I know, they don't need to do that.
And it's just this shit. Is Zack Snyder need fucking glasses or something when he's looking at these, you know, reels coming back with the effects done?
What was?
He's clearly hired the same fucking company. Yeah. My God.
I'm really... It's easy to see now.
If you're an American... No, fuck it, that's racist. If you're a teenager anywhere and you're wetting yourself about how excited this trailer's made you for this film, I can't wait to hear what you've got to say about it in 10 years' time when you're a fucking proper adult.
But there are adults that are getting excited about this. And like, yeah, and it's like...
Oh, I've got to go down to the pub tonight. I've got to find out who they are. I've got to go out tonight and go, right... Who fucking saw it?
It's...
Take them through it frame by frame and explain to them why they're wrong.
Oh, but there was that really, really cool shot of Aquaman on the Batmobile. And that's the other thing.
Didn't he say something annoying like awesome or cool or something while he was riding on top of it? I heard someone say something and I was like, was that Aquaman saying that?
I think he just goes, yeah.
Like, something like that. You're like, why the fuck's he so cheerful about this? Isn't he a moody fucker?
Can't you, like, swim, like... like faster than a submarine, and you're really chuffed to be standing on top of a car with a black armored car. And I know I'm being cynical, but it warrants it, you know. And I they're doing what they can. They're doing what they can to, like, you know. My issue with Zack Snyder is how he responds to critics in his films. So, like, Man of Steel happened, and then, oh, everyone died in that fight sequence, so in Dawn of Justice, like, oh, don't worry, nobody lives in that island. There is not one single person on that island, so no one's going to die.
That was literally the response.
That was the response. Yeah. And then people were saying, oh, it's a bit dour, no jokes, and now they're just they're just doing the same film again, but just plotting jokes in there.
Wouldn't it be either fucked up if this film came out and it was actually good? Which ain't gonna happen. But that would be the fucked up thing. But if it isn't, which it really doesn't look like it is, surely that's three and out. Surely that's like three bombs from the one director. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't think he signed on to for like. They've
weren't they supposed to do a part one and two, and then they changed it to one?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that.
I can't see this franchise having legs to. Like, nobody went to see Dawn of Justice. It did, like, really diminishing returns, like, compared to, like, the Avengers films.
And it made enough, as did Suicide Squad. Yeah. And I reckon the same crowd is going to show up for Wonder Woman and Justice League. And if they're both dog shit, then they'll stop going.
Yeah.
But it does do my head in that all these people are still going to show up after the last three. And after this fucking trailer as well. Because I think people are just curious into... Is it actually that fucking bad?
Because, I mean, that's... You need to watch it to be able to say that it's bad, because you need to be able to...
Yeah, exactly that whole, conundrum. You know, Catch-22 type thing.
Exactly. I don't know it's bad until I've seen to know that it's bad.
Yes.
But...
And then it's like, why do you keep making them? It's like, because you fucking went to see it!
Yeah.
So I would just like to... As much as we all know by now that Zack Snyder is an incompetent fucking buffoon when it comes to... these sort of things. I'd also like to dish out the share to the audience as well that keep fucking going.
Yeah.
Stop going!
There are people that went to see Dawn of Justice more than one time at the cinema. You're an idiot.
Oh, yeah. But the people that went the first time knowing that it was going to be shit, you're an idiot.
Well, that was
Because thanks to your money, they're making more of this shit.
I was going to say that was us, but we went to a press screening, so it was different.
Exactly. I didn't go at all. Or Suicide Squad.
Yeah, you did. We saw Dawn of Justice together.
I didn't see Suicide Squad.
Yeah, we saw Dawn of Justice.
Did we?
Yeah, the press screening.
Press screening?
Yeah.
Did we go to a press screening for that? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did.
Are you sure you didn't go with someone else?
No, I brought you.
Why would you do that to me?
Because we had to talk
about
it here.
I know Man of Steel we didn't see.
I saw Man of Steel, but we got two for Dawn of Justice. We were sitting at the balcony. Remember there's the guy sitting beside us that kept talking?
Was that the
guy who kept talking to us?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. That was great. Now I fucking remember.
Oh, so you actually pushed it out of your memory. You'd just repressed it down, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's down there with when, you know, some traumatic experience happened when you were 2 years old.
Absolutely.
Dawn of Justice isn't that... Well, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. See, Man of Steel, I remember going to see, because it was the first cinema date I had with my wife.
Aww.
Yeah. It's like, bet she fucking enjoyed that. Well, guess who fucking made me go out and buy her Suicide Squad on Blu-ray, and she loves it.
Oh, because I haven't talked about Suicide Squad on this podcast.
No,
because I did go see it with some friends back home when I was home for a weekend, and I haven't seen it since, and that kind of tells you everything that you need to know.
Yep,
It's two films spliced together.
Yeah.
There was the film that David Ayer made, and then there was the film that the editing company that
That's
did the
right.
reshoots made.
It's amazing. And you can really tell. It's the weird thing.
Just let David Ayer do his thing. It doesn't fucking matter. Christ. And David, it would have been good. David Ayer supposed
to... It really doesn't fucking matter. Anyway, let's get off the shit. So we're not looking forward to that. So, we'll get on to the meat... of this podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're not going to be here all fucking day, but to finish off then, I will say actually, so we reviewed all these comic book movies on the podcast, and I'll just reel off quickly the films that got the Gold Star Award on the podcast. So they are Batman Begins. This is in the order that we awarded them. Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, Superman the Movie, Dread, The Crow, Akira, Snowpiercer, and up for the award were also Iron Man, Avengers Assemble, Captain America: The Winter Soldier, and Captain America: Civil War. Just to show you the other end of that scale, the Zero Star Award went to Elektra, Batman and Robin, Catwoman, Conan the Destroyer, Barbed Wire, Green Lantern, Ghost Rider, Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
The reboot sequel.
Oh, yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Which we both realise, that's the one both of us have seen the most of those films.
I know, it's, yes, it is, yes. My, thank you for bringing that up. I, Frankenstein, which both Chris and I never actually saw, but we still voted zero for it.
Yeah,
I have, yeah. The Crow Salvation, aka 3, and 4, The Crow Wicked Prayer. So that was good. So I thought, oh, Chris and I should do like our top 10 favourite comic book movies, but we've talked enough about it for people to get the gist of what we like. So instead, yeah, we're each going to give you our top 5 recommended comic book movies that we recommend to other people need to see.
Yeah, these
and for various reasons.
These aren't necessarily like the best films out there, yeah, but it's like a good, if you're not, if you want to dip your toe into like different kind of avenues of the whole comic book movie thing, then this is these are good starting points, I think. Except, well, are any of your sequels?
Hang on, I've got my list here. No, and no.
Okay. No, yes, no, kind of, and no.
Very good. And none of mine are reboots or remakes or anything like that. They were all first. Actually, no, one is a reboot. Okay. One reboot. One reboot only.
One reboot only. That should be a rule that the studio has.
I'm not going to present. I'm going to present mine in the order that they were made.
Okay, I'm not.
So this is not. This, and I'll go first then. So the first one, it's important because it was essentially kind of the first big blockbuster comic book movie, which is Superman the movie from 1978, original Christopher Reeve movie. I recommend that to people because you can go back, and despite how dated it may be, it still stands up today, and it's 2.5 hours long. Because one, it molds the template of so many films that would follow, in particular the narrative template of Batman Begins, which is why I don't have any Batman movies on my list, because this one informs what you get in the future, but also because it's important because younger audiences who are only necessarily interested in watching films that come out now, it's one that they can go back and watch and still enjoy. They're not going to go, oh, look at the hokey 70s hairdos or anything like that. Dramatically, it holds up strong. Despite the outfit that he's got. You compare the outfit that Christopher Reeve wears to the one that Henry Cavill's got on, huge difference. But because it's written and directed so well and performed so well, you don't give a fuck. So that's my first choice. Superman the movie. Oh, and still one of John Williams's best scores ever.
Oh, can I just... Sorry, I don't mean to bring this up. Only because...
Well, shut up then.
I don't mean to bring it up now. There was a... did you see the Deadpool teaser that was in front of Logan?
Yes.
Did you notice that they got the John Williams score?
Yes.
How?
Because he's going into a phone booth. Oh, you mean what? They just like pay for it. They just pay for it.
How much was that a cost them?
Probably quite a few grand.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing.
But how much did the score cost the Suicide Squad? Probably half their fucking budget.
True.
All the fucking songs. You're just like, really? This song now? Great.
All my friends are heathens. That's one of the songs it's in.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across, but I just found that quite... Because I remember when I saw that at the cinema, it was like, they don't own that. They paid money for that.
Yep. Just for the sake of the joke. Because it's obviously juxtaposing it, because he takes so fucking long to get changed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get the joke, Stephen,
all right, you fucking asked.
I just... well, I can talk about my first one, then.
I didn't see the extended version of that, though, where Stanley says, are you Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, that's literally it. He's a little bit longer in the phone booth, and then and he just goes, shut up, Stanley, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, shut the fuck up, Stanley.
Yes. Oh, well, let's move on to your first pick, then, for everybody.
Excuse me, I'm sniffling. Yeah, let's go to my first film. My first film is Snowpiercer.
Which nice.
Yeah, I picked this for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's great.
Do you know it's still not being released here yet?
Well, that's why. I mean, it should have been. It's not that they haven't tried. It's that the director just... So the story is that the director and the studio have had like a bit of a tiff. So it's very slowly getting released in some... It's been released... I think it was released in the States this year. And it was met like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's like slowly getting released. But my argument for why this film is great, it's based on like a French graphic novel. So one of the things I want to say is like you don't necessarily have to go for the tried and tested Marvel, DC or manga stuff. There is better. There is stuff out there which is just super.
You
that isn't
wanker.
What? Oh, is that?
Find out later on.
What? Why is that?
It's alright. You'll find out later on. Keep going.
Is it because you only have DC, Marvel, or manga?
No, it's because fuck you. Just stop.
You know, if you're someone like Steven, feel free to look further afield than the Marvel, DC, and manga. You can like to be honest, like the company that this is from is slipped my mind now, but the graphic novel itself is fantastic. The film as well is great, and you've got Chris Evans in there. He's superb. Is it John Hurt that's there?
Yes.
Yeah. Got rest his soul. Yeah. He was, and he's fantastic. And Ed Harris is superb. And it's just like it's a great film. Just about class.
Visually fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's brilliant. Tilda Swinton. Imagine having all those people in a film and just nah, you're not getting it. So feel free to steal it, because that's where I got it. It's not on Netflix. It's not anywhere. You need to.
Well, not over here because it's not fucking released. I had to get my copy from whatever bloody country it was released on.
Oh, yeah. I got mine from Pirate Bay. They're quite nice there.
Shh. We don't do that.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. But yeah. Watch this film.
Yes, I didn't watch the entirety of the Lethal Weapon series through that.
No.
Which is.
Did you not get. I mean, the Blu-ray.
What? Lethal Weapon? Yeah. Not the film, it's the TV show.
Oh, you watched that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's 50% unbelievably shit in that it's a procedural each week and you're just like, you know who the bad guy is because it's always the new person that's in the cast who has lines. You're like, oh, they're the bad guy. But the two main guys are fucking... The chemistry just shoots beyond the stratosphere. They work unbelievably well together. Clayne Crawford and Damon Wayans. You're like, this show has no right to be this funny. I could show you a clip of them trying to arrest this big muscly black dude who's showering and the guy fucking has the bow for them. And it's like a comedy fucking fight scene of these three in a shower with one of them with his head almost up this guy's ass and you will wet yourself laughing.
I just call it something not Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be Lethal Weapon.
Well,
it doesn't have to be Lethal Weapon. They can literally do the exact same thing. People can say this is a rip off of Lethal Weapon. But it's funny.
Yes.
They don't, because Lethal Weapon's Lethal Weapon.
Yeah. It is going for more for the comedy side of things. They need to sort out the action. But what are you going to do when McG, you know, directs your fucking pilot? But it has legs. But what they need to do is dump the procedural and do season 2 as a remake of Lethal Weapon the film. And then do season 3 as a remake of Lethal Weapon 2. I want to see dodgy ass fucking South Africans. Yeah.
It's just been.
And then it'll fucking work. But yeah, it's shocking how funny that it can be, this show. Okay. So yeah, anyway, we're off track. So I'll go on, shall I?
Yeah, tell us your DC, Marvel and or manga one.
Yeah, shut up. So for my second choice, we are going to go to my manga choice. So I was going to say, you know, not everything has to be DC or Marvel. So I picked a manga movie. You fucking bastard.
Sorry.
Yes, and it's animated as well. And that's Akira.
Oh yeah, super fun.
But also, I hold Akira up to any animated movie that is made today. And I wonder that why so many of them don't look as good as Akira.
It's Akira. I don't know what it is about it, but it uses light better than any animated film that I've seen in years.
Hand drawn.
I know, it's all amazing. Like, light is almost like a character in itself, what it does in the film. It's sorry, I didn't mean to cut across.
We're living in a time where we're too used to, and DreamWorks, whether it's DreamWorks or Disney or Pixar, whatever, it's all the big giant heads and goggly eyes that people are into, you know, and fine, you know, hey, for kids and all that sort of shit, but and even the the one that does my head in, the bloody Howl's Moving Castle and Princess Mononoke and all that shit.
Oh, the Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, fuck them. They look like their stuff was made back in the early 80s, yeah. And still does. Fine, that's their style, and Pixar have their style with the big goggly eyes and the giant heads, etc., etc. But Akira is really a film out of time. It was made in 1988, and it could have been fucking made last year. It really stands out that well. Get yourself a fucking awesome Blu-ray version of it, yeah. And you'll literally go like I did, this film needs a clean. No, because it's got dirt on it. They need to clean it up. But animation wise, it is, you know, like almost second to none. And they keep threatening to do a live action, which they haven't done yet.
They've done a Ghost in the Shell.
They're doing it, exactly. If Ghost in the Shell works, then Akira's around the fucking corner.
Ghost in the Shell is the... It's out the week after we record now.
Right.
And the press screening is in 2 days from the day we record. So yep. We're going to find out very, very quickly if Ghost in the Shell is going to work or not. Mm-hmm. I have a suspicion that it won't.
A
couple of reasons. One, they always do it when the press screening is the week of release. I saw Free Fire 3 weeks ago. It's released next week.
Cool.
Free Fire is great. But
Cillian Murphy, woo!
Cillian Murphy, Brie Larson, Charlton Copley is fucking amazing in that film. I can't stress enough how funny he is. I've got a review on the side, and I'm going to have a feature on the side about it as well, because it's that good. I'm writing a feature this weekend for it. It's quite good.
Awesome.
The team asked me to do
it. I'm there, I'll go see it.
Do go see it. But yeah, I don't think Ghost in the Shell is going to work. Also, cool. Web. Oh!
12A Ghost in the Shell, you know.
Pardon?
It's a 12A Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, what? You can't do that.
Yeah. So the actual... but I mean, Ghost in the Shell is not a perfect animated film. I mean, you listen to it, it suffers, especially the English translation, from so much, you know, people in a scene explaining what's going on. Some of the explanatory dialogue is shocking in Ghost in the Shell. This film won't have that, but the changes that they're making... it looks like it's all going to be style over substance. And the style is much more of the MTV editing variety as opposed to something that actually looks artistic. Yeah. You know, too much CGI, blah, 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 blah. But it looks like it will start well. It'll have the initial assassination that she does in the film in it in a similar way. It will have the fight where she chases the guy for the market that ends in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
From the cartoon. Apparently that's getting rave reviews already because they've been posting it online.
They've released that... thing in total, I think, and they've also released the first 5 minutes of the film. We've actually already seen both those things.
Oh, cool. So that's the best parts of the film. They were the best parts of the animated film, but will it have the slow moments as well? And will it have the head-inducing headache stuff going on with the ghost, the bad guy himself, later on in the film? Because it gets very talky. The original Ghost in the Shell. Will this film retain that, or will it go, ah, fuck that, let's blow shit up?
Probably going to blow shit up.
Is Morgan Freeman in this?
No, I think it's Scarlett Johansson and Asians.
Right, good, fine. And whoever's playing Batu just looks awful.
Sorry?
The guy with the white hair and the glasses, he looks awful in the film.
He reminds me of the bad guy in Men in Black.
Lang.
He reminds me of the bad guy in Men in Black 3.
All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I thought it was like Flight of the Conchords fella. Yeah. I genuinely thought it was him. Oh, cool. Shared universe. I did want to briefly mention as well, have you seen they're doing a live action Death Note for Netflix?
Yes, I have.
What's the trailer?
I have not.
Looks fine.
Okay.
My issue is, and it's not really an issue that I have, it's my issues with people's issues in that they're going to say, oh, they're whitewashing.
Okay.
It's not whitewashing when... It's a remake of a
Japan with Japanese characters.
The thing. No one gave a shit when
but it's white actors.
Yeah, it's based in the US. No one gave a shit when The Departed came out
That's an Asian film. No one gave a shit. It's just because it's now the cool thing to do is to give out about, oh, yes, Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell, that is whitewashing. But I know...
Is she playing Meijo Kusanagi?
Yeah.
Right, then that's whitewashing.
Yeah.
If she's playing Sharon Davis, then it's not.
I think her character's name is Major. I don't know if it goes into being something a bit more, but we'll see. But I just know that, oh, how dare they? Yeah, like, Deadpool is fantastic. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just a remake. Relax. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across. But I'm looking forward to that.
Right, good. You can give us your next choice.
Super. So... good choice in the manga there, Stephen. My second.
Fuck you, alright?
That's fine, look, it's fine. Just feel free to, you know, broaden your horizon every now and then. My second choice is, I think, Sam Raimi's opus, which is Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
This film is inch perfect. There is nothing wrong with this film.
Except Peter Parker swinging up the frame.
No, even that's cool.
After Doc Ock dies, and it's like, what the hell is his web attached to? I refer everyone to our Spider-Man podcast, where Chris literally lists that as his only bugbear with the film.
Yeah, okay.
So it's 99% perfect.
It's all... Every shot is perfect, except for one shot. There is literally one shot in the entire film where you might go, huh, but then you just forget about it, because you just had a delightful time for the past 2.5 hours. Spider-Man 2 is just perfect. And it just shows that you don't need to have like a dark, moody, gritty, kind of film. It's quite bright. It's quite a light film. You don't like. There's no. You know. There's and they do everything well. Like they do. Like the tease. The end is done really well. Yep. And Peter Parker is great. Everything about this film. Apart from this one shot that you just feel to keep bringing up, is just super. You can't fault it. It's a fun time for everyone involved.
No,
just go for J. Jonah Jameson at all. If you go for one thing, J.K. Simmons. That's the one thing you go for this film. But there's a whole lot more. Doc Ock is a superb villain.
Do you, now that JK is part of the DC universe as Commissioner Gordon, mistake, do you think that was a misstep by the actor in the sense of, come on guys, I'm happy to do J. Jonah in the new universe?
I don't want him to do J. Jonah in the new universe.
You don't want to?
No. Okay. Because you don't need to. And then I'd almost rather they don't do him again. And I know you kind of need to, but...
Well, at some point.
Yeah, but there's... Certainly at the moment there's no need, and I'm very pleased if he gets left. At the very least, I would rather someone else come in and do it poorly so that we know just how good JK was.
Well, this is the thing, because in the next Spider-Man film, I don't think we'll get that character at all because he's still in high school, right? So maybe even not the next one. But eventually, if it's successful with Tom Holland... and they keep going, eventually you will get there when he's working for the Daredevil, so you have to do that character. And depending on how far down the line that is, I'm only saying because JJ is back in the comic book stratosphere with DC, people will have him on his on their minds.
Yeah, true.
So whoever does it next can only potentially fail in that respect.
But they could also have it, like, you don't actually necessarily have to...
But then again, you see how fucking rubbish... that he looked in the Justice League trailer. Maybe people were like, oh, fuck him.
Yeah, maybe.
Fuck him and all.
You know what? No, you couldn't do that, because JK is just a great guy. But you can nearly have him there without actually...
Great guy that did that amazing speech when he won that award, and then he did the exact same speech 50 more times when he won all the rest of the awards.
Yeah, fair play to him. I admire that.
Yeah, 50 speeches. That's stand-up comedy for you. Let's just do the same routine. I'm actually pleased for getting an award. I'm just gonna reel off the same shit I did last night.
I love if he had like still folded up piece of paper, the same folded piece of paper in his pocket. what I was gonna say is you can have JJ without actually having JJ in that.
Right.
You don't ever have you can have it where like he's just like a voice on an intercom.
Yeah.
You don't even have to at least for a while. You don't have
you
to.
You just don't base. You just don't make it a comedy scene. Yeah. You just make it as someone who's pissed off. You make it dramatic, even.
Yeah.
Parker, get in here and, you know, do this shit and get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple as that.
So I did like that.
Yeah.
So, but
change the emphasis of the scenes.
Exactly.
But and which would be good because again, if they are too similar to the to Sam Raimi's trilogy, then they're just going to compare to it.
I think.
Fair enough. Right, so my number three is The Rocketeer from 1990, and still my favourite movie poster of all time, the Art Deco poster for The Rocketeer. Absolutely love it. But it's a, and again, this is not, so, you know, just to throw your fucking argument in your face, because I've only just realised it, this isn't fucking, oh no, it's Disney, it's Touchstone, but it's not Marvel, it's not DC, it is something different, but it is, you know, a superhero. What makes this one stand out is that it was, it's set historically in time, it's set during the you know, the World War period, World War II. So it's in the 30s in Los Angeles, America, I guess. So and it paved the way for films like Captain America Working, which was Marvel's first historic set film. And we're going to get that with Wonder Woman as well. And I guess the other tie to Captain America is the fact that it was the same director. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know goddamn well that the fact that Joe Johnson directed The Rocketeer got him the job for Captain America. It had nothing to do with the fact that he used to work on in a lower capacity on Star Wars movies, or that he directed Jumanji or Jurassic Park 3 or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It was because he directed The Rocketeer.
Absolutely.
It was classy, it was timely, it looked great, and he could handle the characters as well. And The Rocketeer means, like, I mean, who are the most famous people in that? Jennifer Connelly, I guess. Alan Arkin's still budding about. Nobody knows who Bill Campbell is.
No.
You know, these days, sadly. He's good. He's doing very well on TV, I'm happy to say, but he's still remembered film-wise for The Rocketeer. Timothy Dalton, amazing bad guy.
Super, yeah.
Yeah. And the script is very intelligently written. It is it's a riot from start to end. And a lot of people still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I remember, because you pointed me in the direction of it. It was one of those ones, I was always aware of it, but you're the reason that I watched it when I did, because we had to record it. We did record a podcast on it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did that, The Shadow and The Phantom, because they were all historical set, because the other two came after The Rocketeer, wouldn't you know?
Yeah.
I was getting to that, but go on.
Sorry. Where do you want me to go?
Is that it? You finished?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
No.
Oh, fuck's sake. Yeah, anyway, yeah. So, I mean, you got The Shadow a few years later with Alec Baldwin, another historical set one, which flopped. And then you got The Phantom of Billy Zane, which really fucking flopped. So yeah, the 90s weren't kind. The mid to early 90s were not kind. I mean, The Rocketeer broke even. It wasn't a massive success, but there were plans for them to do sequels and stuff like that. I'm not going to go into detail about that. We've already done our Rocketeer podcast, but that is choice three.
Okay.
It's one that people, if you haven't seen it, go check it out, because it's got a really, really good heart about it. Although the effects might be a bit dated, it's not necessarily all that focused on the action. It is focused. It lets the characters drive the plot, and you won't give a fuck. And the outfit is still awesome. I need to get one of those jackets.
Yeah, that's a good jacket.
Right, for you.
Sin City.
Ooh, good choice.
Yeah, I thought so. This
Gold
is
Gold Star movie. Yeah.
Yeah, Gold Star film. This is a spectacularly shot film. The way the use of colour, the minimal use of colour, is fantastic. Like, like when Josh Hartnett is on the balcony and as the girl inhales a cigarette, it's like her eyes light up. It's like, it's a black and white film. You know what Sin City is if you.
Yeah.
But it's just it's just one of my favourite comic book films of all time, and it was. We'll get to some R-rated stuff. You've got an R-rated one to mention, don't you?
I've got two. My last two are both R-rated. Hello, America. They're both 18.
Yeah, and I've got one to mention. So, but this was
from Ireland, 18s.
Yeah, but this was one of the. This came out in like 2005.
Yeah, maybe earlier. That's right.
Yep. So
took 9 years for the sequel. Hey, Rodriguez is doing the remake to Escape from New York now.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, all right, that's good. I love that.
Well, if he's good.
Yeah, he'll do it. He's due a good film now. It's been a while since he's done a good film.
Is The Rock in Escape from New York?
Reboot? No, I don't know who's in it. He's not cast it yet. But no, he won't be.
Yeah, you fucking hope not.
Remember when The Rock was going to redo Big Trouble in Little China and that's disappeared?
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Where the fuck's that gone to?
Oh, they're going to do it. It's going to be him and Kevin Hart, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Can you imagine?
I just want to know if The Rock has talked about this with Kurt Russell on Fast 7 and 8. By the way, I'm thinking about remaking one of your films and Russell just decks him.
And you can't reply to that.
And then Scott Eastwood punches him in the knoll. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. The Rock is doing Big Trouble in China, if that's still going. Sin City, is... Fuck, his name escapes me. Who plays Marv?
Mickey Rourke.
Yes, thank you. Mickey Rourke's... his resurgence, kind of like... Because it was this, and then The Wrestler came out a bit after
that's
this.
That's right, yeah.
It was like he was back on the map, and it was... Yeah. That was... Probably my favourite thing about this film is it got Mickey Rourke back in... everyone's lives, because he shied away from films for a while.
And he wasn't getting cast a lot. He was getting the odd little thing here and there, and I still had an eye on him because I've always been secretly a fan. And typically, you know, you're like, oh, but that guy, I've always liked him. And then even in the little things that they pop up in, which aren't necessarily great, like he popped up in The Rainmaker in the late 90s, wasn't that great. I mean, I liked it enough, but he, I thought, was terrific in it, in his tiny little fucking role. Tony Scott used him in Man on Fire with Denzel Washington. Tiny little fucking role, kind of wasted. Once Upon a Time in Mexico with Robert Rodriguez, small role, again, kind of wasted, but you kind of go, I'm happy to see him working. And then Sin City happens. And then The Wrestler.
And he knocked out of the park.
And then, annoyingly, the moment that they get the Oscar recognition, you know, here's the... he didn't win it. He got the fucking Sean Penn. Really? Anyway, it immediately goes to shit. Then he starts doing shit like The Immortals. With Henry Cavill. And sorry, Iron Man 2, but yeah, you kind of wasted Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine. Yeah,
typical. But narratively, Sin City is an awesome film. You know, split into all the short stories.
Yeah, it's great. And each one is punchy. There's never a lull moment. And that's what's great about short stories as well, is that because they're short, you have to kind of pack everything in like such a short space of time, but still have that narrative. So there's three short stories, each is like 40, 50 minutes long, and it's just, they're just great. They're just so, like, that Yellow Bastard is fantastic. Bruce Willis is great. Marv's one is super as well. No, it is one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest comic book films. Such a pity that the sequel sucked, but at least we have the first one, and let's not taint that. Yes. You can't.
Yes. Well, my next choice is basically just one that, again, it's not DC or Marvel or anything like that. It's The Crow from 1994, James O'Barr's written piece, and the first film, because the rest of them suck. And they keep threatening to remake this, and I don't know why, because there's nothing wrong with this one. Music-wise, you get a film come out and they put nothing but rock songs on there, right? On the soundtrack, whether it's on the film or inspired by. This is one of those ones back in the early to mid-90s that kind of kick-started that idea. The soundtrack for this film was one of the first ones to kind of do that for The Crow. But also, the actual score soundtrack was awesome by Graham Revell. But The Crow, it had instant cult status purely because of its leading man passing away on the set. With the accident that happened on there, we all know about that. But it's basically, you know, a director working in more of an artistic way to please a major mass audience. So you can see that he's taken visual cues from the likes of Fritz Lang, Ridley Scott, you know, Blade Runner and stuff like that, and delivering, you know, real art that stands up today. You know, I mean, but with the use of models as well as limited effects, because I think it only had like a $25 million budget.
Okay.
And really coming off well, because I mean, I watched it. I've got it on the American Blu-ray, and it is fucking brilliant. It looks superb. And Brandon Lee is terrific in there. And there are nothing but, you know, loads of, like, I know that actor, I know that actor, I know that actor. Michael Wincott, Ernie Hudson, David Patrick Kelly. You know, a shit ton of people in there that you sort of recognize some other stuff as well. It came along to me at the right time when I was 18. And this, for people that are of my age then today, that film for them is John Wick.
Yeah.
Which is not a comic book movie.
Not at all.
But it is one guy, you know, vengeance, a dead wife kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And it's got that kinetic, artistic style about it. And John Wick also has that very good song soundtrack, where you might not be a fan of Marilyn Manson, but you might not also be a fan of dance music. But the songs that they pick in particular for the, you know,
for the action pieces,
for the actual scenes work perfectly. Whether it's when he's going to hunt down fucking Ginger Boy, what's he called from Game of Thrones, Alfie Allen, when he's in that nightclub scene, and you know he's in the area where all the fucking pool is and shit, and then cutting into the actual nightclub of that area afterwards. Complete contrast musically, but it all just really fucking stands out.
Yeah.
That's choice four. It's one that people need to see if they haven't, The Crow, because artistically it still is just packs a punch.
Yeah, it just kind of stands out. Oh, yeah, and it's. Yeah, the Crow, and The Crow is one that they've kind of been threatening to remake as well of late.
Yeah, I know.
And I think Jason Momoa was attached for a while. You can't have
Marky
like
Mark, fucking Luke Evans. Yeah, who else? I mean, next?
Yeah, so again, like just leave it be. You know, you don't need to remake or reboot everything.
So what's four for you?
Four for me. I'm gonna go animated. Batman Under the Red Hood. So the animated films from DC can kind of get pushed aside. It's like, oh, these are for kids.
Yeah,
these are whatever.
Yeah.
Especially around the time that this came out. Like now you've got Batman Year One. Dark Knight Returns has been coming out in two parts.
Yep.
Excuse me. So they've kind of been like geared towards the more adult audience. But Under the Red Hood is Sorry, I'm going to sneeze.
Yes, this is the one where Bender voices the Joker.
Yes, it is. But this has... You've got, like, the tail end of A Death in the Family, which is a fantastic...
That's right, yeah.
Whether it's fantastic or is up for debate, it's certainly a well-known Batman storyline. And then you've got the introduction of the Red Hood as a vigilante, and...
Yep.
It's just a really intriguing story. It's only an hour and 15 minutes long. It's short, punchy. The animation is great. Better than The Killing Joke that came out last year. Much better. And it's just a fun romp. Is Kevin Conroy doing Batman? I'm sure he is. He always does.
I don't think he is in this one, actually. I think it's a different voice cast. Because the Joker's not even Hamill,
It's Bruce Greenwood. Excuse me.
Oh wow! I can see him doing Bruce Wayne, but Batman? Okay.
Yeah. Then you've got Jensen Ackles.
What was the one where Cranston did Gordon? Was that Year One?
Year One.
Yeah.
Because Gordon was like the main.
Yeah.
Cranston is in the new Power Rangers movie.
I know.
Where apparently it's a 2-hour film and they don't put on their suits until 95 minutes.
What? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I haven't watched it. I don't want to. Because it'll ruin what Power Rangers was for me. Because that was one of my things when I was growing up. But yeah, apparently,
never tell anyone else that.
What?
That it was one of your things that you watched when you were growing up.
What do you mean?
It was shit!
Yeah, of course it was.
It was clearly fucking awful.
Yeah, but I loved it.
Alright. Okay. It was after my time, mate, so, you know, I don't get 90s, that, all the fucking Teletubbies. But then again, I look back and I watch Thundercats and I go, really? Have I moaned about that on here?
Thundercats?
Yeah.
Not to me.
There was an episode where it's one of the episodes, it opens with Lino and Panthro sitting in a car together, right on fucking night watch, who knows what they're doing, but they're just in the fucking car sitting next to each other talking, and every time one of them has a line they say the other person's name in the line. So, Lino, what are you doing? Well, Panthro, I'm doing this. Is that right, Lino? You know, like that.
Right, okay.
Excruciatingly bad. And I'm like, and I thought this was fucking good as a kid. Oh, dear.
I did just remember that in Under the Red Hood, Neil Patrick Harris plays Nightwing. Totally
forgot. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And he's super in... did you watch a series of Unfortunate Events? It's on Netflix?
No. He's playing the bad guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's kind of all off. He's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Check it out, then.
Do.
Are they doing the whole thing this time? Because that film was like one of what was meant to be many and then it never happened.
Yeah, the film with Jim Carrey was like, they were meant to do like three films.
Yeah.
But then just did one. But Count the TV Olaf. Show, they've, I think it's six episodes? It's eight episodes.
Okay.
Two episodes per book. So...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Flying through it, then.
Well, there's 13 books, so you'd imagine they'll do three seasons.
Ah, okay.
And they've announced season two as well, which is great.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's good, like, they're because I read those books
Hopefully
as well.
They don't announce season two of Iron Fist.
I mean, Defenders is coming out, and then they're...
Well, okay. That I can live with.
Yeah.
I can't live with Iron Fist season two, unless they recast everybody and focus the story on something completely different.
Colleen Wing was quite good.
Well, fuck off. You know, I don't give a fuck. Okay, she can fight on screen. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay, alright.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's Under the Red Hood. It's just again, if you kind of want to dip your toe into what... Because the Batman animated series is fantastic, like, when it came out. It was, like, it's still fantastic. But if you kind of want to look at what... It's very different. But if you want to look at what... There is in kind of the animated realm, especially with the DC and the Batman stuff, then this is... certainly a good starting point, I think, anyways, because it's probably one of the best ones, in my opinion.
Excellent. No, that's good. It's all good. Glad we covered it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, for my last choice, I'm going much more 18 rated. I mean, The Crow was 18 rated, but this one's like, you know, for violence. Even more so for violence. I mean, we all know in today's day and age, with the success of Deadpool going... Screw this, we're going to go fun, you know, swearing and blood and guts, and, you know, it's still a 15, so kind of, you know, they can half fuck off on that one. And Logan did the same thing, but a 15 today, you know, meant what an 18 was, you know, back 20 years ago. I mean, The Crow, I think you could probably just about reclassify as an 18 if you took out some of the drug stuff, I guess. Certainly the violence, you know, you get a lot more bloody stuff in Deadpool than you do in The Crow. So, you know, I'll be fair there and say, right, fine, okay. But, this one does go for it, but it wasn't a hit. It was a flop. So it hasn't necessarily paved the way for anything. If anything, it made studios afraid of doing stuff. And it's such a shame. But because things are coming back round to the adult way of stuff, thanks to the success of particularly Logan, which is owed to the success of Deadpool. You know, Deadpool was like, here you go, here's a film for adults with adult material. Good, let's do Logan, where we do that kind of thing, but take away all the joking. Dread, which came out in 2012, hit the nail on the fucking head way before any of this stuff. It's deadly serious. Not but that certainly has its moments of humour in it. Stylistically, it's brilliant. Narratively brilliant. Unbelievably well cast. And the fucker flopped like, you know, nobody's business. Some people say, oh, it's because of The Raid. Like, not that many people went to see The fucking Raid. The Raid was a hit, but it wasn't that big a fucking hit. The Dread film was either just mismarketed or it just came out at the wrong time. Nobody went to see it. Maybe the answer is, now we're ready for it, so let's have a sequel. Or maybe now the answer is, it's better suited to something like Netflix. And with shows like Daredevil in particular, for its violent content, and the forthcoming Punisher series, maybe that's something that could happen and should happen. Dread is a real underdog. I mean, you look at my list. The Rocketeer is a real underdog of a movie. The Crow, to an extent, an underdog of a movie. Dread is definitely the underdog that lost, that got the cult following after the fact. It's the epitome of that. And we gold starred it. Everyone was like, fuck me, yes, that film is brilliant. People need to keep talking about it. They've still got campaigns online for trying to get, you know, the sequel going, etc., etc. And I'm only all in favour of that just purely for Carl Urban. Yeah. Because at some point in the future, we will get Dredd again. Yeah. It will just happen. It's that... you know, well-known a commodity that at some point in the future it will happen. It doesn't worry me that Dredd will never happen again. It is going to happen again. The only need to give it some urgency at the moment is to get that actor back, because he was terrific. And if we miss that opportunity, you know, that's everybody's loss. But hopefully whoever does get cast in the future, it'll be someone that we don't know of yet. Hopefully they'll do an even better job. So, Dredd's that, yeah, oh, talk about the plot or anything, just fucking watch it, it's great, and it was made for adults, it's 18 rated, it was made for adults, and surprisingly, one of the first 3D films that I saw when I went, that's actually quite a good use of 3D, but like every 3D film, only in certain scenes, scenes when you're just walking around corridors and stuff. You know, who fucking cares, right? You know, what 3D film can be constantly, you know, going to work in every fucking shot? Certainly not that. Yeah. But when it does, it's good. Cool. That's my last choice.
Good choice.
Dredd.
So we spent the start of this podcast giving out about Zack Snyder. My fifth choice is a Zack Snyder film. This is 300. I'm joking. This is Watchmen. Watchmen is, for some reason, when this film was coming out...
I can't fault you.
Everyone, whether you were into comic books, comic book movies or not, for some reason everyone thought, we have to go see this film. This is the film we have to go see. It just became... I don't know why...
A film that Terry Gilliam couldn't even get made.
Exactly. Again. But people were clamouring for this film. I remember, like, back home, west of Ireland, we went to go see it, and like, the theatre was packed, and it wasn't even opening night. First night, it was just like an evening, like a Tuesday evening, because we were students.
And how long is the theatrical cut?
3 hours.
It is 3 hours. Yeah. So it is actually officially the first and only 3-hour comic book movie, not counting Dawn of Justice.
Yeah.
Good?
Yep. Yeah, it's over 3 hours. It's like, it's long, it's a slog, but it's great. And it's
amazing source material, that's why.
Well, yeah, there is that. And again, as you said, it's like, it was one of the unfilmable books. Like, it's something that couldn't be done. And it could. And that's because, to Zack Snyder's credit, but also to his detriment, he is great at getting those shots, getting those, lifting it straight from the comic book and putting it on the screen right in front of you as it appears.
Yeah,
on the
he
pages.
Can do that.
He's great at that, and that's what they needed for Watchmen. As long as they had the players, they had the
What you just said, Watchmen? Did you mean Dawn of Justice?
Yeah, I mean
Watchmen. Sorry, I thought you said that's what they needed for. You meant anyway. Go on.
No, what I mean is like they needed that, but they also lucky in that they also got like actors that were great in the roles. They got the soundtrack. There's a couple of songs in there that were ill timed.
Well, some of them were actually in the comic book as well. So, you know, because I think Dodgy fucking Love Scene has Leonard Cohen playing.
I know, but still...
yeah, change it.
Exactly. Feel
that's,
free.
That's where you go, let's change this.
That's where your poetic license comes in, just ever so slightly. but as a whole, it's fantastic. And they did make one change, which is, you know, it wasn't a big, weird monster. They just got a bomb.
Yeah.
And that was a change that made sense.
Yes, I like that change.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else they could have changed? Actually, they did change that they probably actually should. Yeah, they needed to change, but the change they made wasn't good, and that was the bad guy's outfit, because he looked like Robin from Batman and Robin.
Yeah. But I mean, what could they have done with it?
Sorry, Matthew Good, but yeah, just give him a fucking suit, dude in a suit.
No, but he's a superhero.
Yeah, but just give him a suit. Imagine all those scenes that he was in that film, and he's just wearing his suit. Fine, give him a better haircut and all.
No, I'm kind of...
Anyway.
But no, the Watchmen is a pillar of comic book filmmaking.
Have you seen the mega, mega, mega extended cut that also has the Black Freighter cartoon
in
it?
No, I can't do that.
No? I haven't done it yet. Because it's not been released here, but America had it, and I've not got around to getting it.
That's an ask.
But I saw the director's cut, which was even longer, and I thought, I think I prefer the theatrical version. But it had moments in it that were good, but it was still just way too fucking long.
No, I couldn't. The idea of like a... it'd be like 4 and a bit hours? that's like...
Black Freighter's half hour in total, I think.
So yeah, before because it's Black Freighter on top of the director's cut, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it'd be over 4 hours.
Yep. That's... Eat your heart out, Hamlet.
There you go. Like, Jesus. I couldn't do that. Fair play to you if you can, but you also don't have a life. So yeah. But that being said, Watchmen, theatrical cut, at least, is my pick for Kung Fu films that I think you have to watch.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So we didn't pick any X-Men movies.
No, because...
And I looked at the list, and I was like, maybe because none of them were 5-star movies for you, Stephen. Some of them very close, but not quite. But also, none of them sort of redid anything. I mean, the only thing you could say the X-Men did, beg my pardon, is they and this is actually kind of important, kind of rebooted the resurgence of the comic book movie.
Yeah.
That, and then the first Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
So we kind of voted that, but I didn't want to mention the first X-Men movie for that reason, which is what it's due, is because it's not that fucking great. It's good,
At the time, it was sublime, but it just doesn't have legs.
Now it's just fine, it's good. Yeah, fine, it's good, but it's not a very good film. All the films that I mentioned are very good. I would give them all 5 stars. X-Men, the first one, 3.5,
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're talking about films to be recommended, not films that were important in time.
Exactly.
Although they kind of cross over, but whatever. Yeah. Or any Marvel movies we didn't mention, but that's why I wanted to read out the Gold Star stuff, because there are a couple in there that are doing well.
Yeah, it's actually quite funny that we didn't like the one company that seems to be knocking it out of the park every maybe 3 out of every 4 times at the very least, because there are some stinkers in the Marvels.
Yeah. I mean, the original Iron Man is still great, but it didn't do anything. All it did was launch Marvel. It didn't relaunch comic book movies. It didn't do anything necessarily original, but it was fantastic. The ones that really stand out, the latter two Captain America movies in particular, worth mentioning, but for what reason do you recommend them above others? I can't go watch Captain America 2 if you haven't seen the fucking first one.
Exactly.
But there you go.
Yeah. And then you can't mention anything like later on. Because,
Guardians, you could, though. I reckon that would stand out.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, the film that relaunched fucking Star Wars when it wasn't around, but now it's back again, so who cares?
Exactly. Yeah. Got Space Opera's back on track.
Yeah. Well, hey. Basically, it all boils down to just an excuse to fucking chat to you for, a good hour and change about comic book movies one more time on the podcast.
Yeah, it was important to do one last time.
So this is it. But so as much as I'm out of here in a couple of weeks, Chris Droney is still hanging around doing reviews on the website. So as much as the podcast is on hiatus, Chris is very much still reviewing, so... Stick with the website and see what he's up to.
Yeah, please do. And there'll be something launching pretty soon that I'll probably throw a thing on the website about.
Yeah,
anyway.
Post on
so,
there.
Just keep an eye on the website, because there's some cool stuff coming up very soon that I've been working on since I've left the podcast here.
Awesome, Chris. It's always been a pleasure to have you on here.
Thank you very much for
asking. And thanks for coming back, even though you're ill.
I couldn't say no.
Brilliant. Well, nothing else left to say except goodbye, I guess.
Goodbye again.
Goodbye.